And good evening, everybody. No, this is not an extended DWS newscast. I am Tim Dittman, filling in for Scott Beatty on the Tuesday edition of Sports Talk, the first Sports Talk of 2018. Hope everybody had a safe and happy new year. We're back with you here until 6 o'clock, taking your calls and your texts and your tweets, however else you want to get in touch with us, talking about the big headlines of the day in the world of sports. Lauren Tate from the News Gazette joins me. Lauren,
how was
your new year?
Oh, great. I was wild and crazy.
You made it to the ball drop?
I made it to the couch and watched games.
You and me both. I know that's how I spent yesterday.
That's a terrible thing to admit, yes. I used to have a lot of fun on New Year's Eve, but not anymore.
Well, you're
most fun is just getting to the couch.
You're still up and kicking at what, age 86, 85?
Am I that old?
Well, you tell me.
86.
There we go. Glad to have you here. As always, you can reach us, 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. We're streaming at WDWS.com. That's also where you can find a podcast of tonight's show a little bit later. Blake Landa helping us out behind the scenes. I'm on Twitter at TDittman2. Lauren is on Twitter at TateLines. You can reach us there if you want to chat about sports or anything else that's on your mind. Take a look at some headlines of the day. And as Lauren pointed out before we went on the air, a full slate of Big Ten basketball tonight. Some good games as we now resume Big Ten basketball play on the men's side. Indiana takes on Wisconsin at 6 p.m. That's actually a game we're going to have for you right here on DWS. Once we sign off toward the top of the hour, we will bring you Matt LePay's call. Michigan takes on Iowa also at 6, Penn State and Maryland, and the nightcap at 8 is Nebraska and Northwestern.
We will see how the home court pans out in these games. Wisconsin does not appear very good this year, but they're home against Indiana. They'll have a full crowd there and kick off in about an hour, a little less than an hour, I don't know what to expect out of Wisconsin. I've been saying for several years that they're slumping, but they never seem to finish worse than fourth. Here we'll see.
Yeah, 8-7 is Greg Gard's squad. Indiana comes into the ball game at 8-6, and yeah, you've been to the Kohl Center many times. It's, in my opinion, kind of a pro style arena, but I mean, it gets really loud.
Well, any arena that packs them up in the fine top row,
right.
You're gonna have plenty of loudness, and I just think both these teams are, neither of these teams figures to get to the NCAA this year in my view, and I think they're both 50-50 or worse in the Big Ten, and then you go Michigan at Iowa. Michigan's always a little better than we think they are,
mm-hmm.
And Iowa is always a little worse because Iowa doesn't play defense as well as they should. They got 4 starters back from last year,
right.
Plus an outstanding freshman class, individual freshman coming in, but they haven't shown it this year.
Top 25 action tonight, fresh off the upset of Villanova. Butler takes on number 5 Xavier. Number 16 TCU visits Baylor. Auburn takes on number 23 Tennessee. Top 20 matchup between Texas Tech and Kansas. Florida takes on Texas A&M. Arkansas visits Mississippi State. The Razorbacks, number 22 in the country. Those final three are 8 p.m. tips tonight. College football news. Northwestern quarterback Clayton Thorson has a torn ACL in his right knee. This is just coming down this afternoon. His future is now up in the air. The school says today that Thorson will work with the athletic training staff to prepare for surgery in mid-January. No timetable for his return. He's Northwestern's winningest quarterback, and he announced last month that he would return for a senior season. He was injured catching a pass on a trick play during a win over Kentucky in the Music City Bowl.
I saw that play. I don't know how he got hurt. He made a normal fall. It's just something happened as he was tackled.
I must have missed it because it didn't catch my eye. I had one eye on that game as I was doing other things.
There was nothing about the play that was unusual other than it was a quarterback on the receiving end, and he made a nice gain. He could have stepped out of bounds.
Right.
And didn't. Tried to get the extra yardage and took the hit, and there you go. Now he's probably out for next season.
Other Big Ten football news, All-American linebacker T.J. Edwards is returning to Wisconsin for his senior season, and that will boost a defense that loses many other key contributors. Edwards posted his decision on Twitter today. He had sought input from the NFL Draft Advisory Board on whether to leave after his standout junior year, but he says, quote, "I could not be more excited for my senior year at Wisconsin."
They only had one player out of the 11 that was not a junior or senior, and some of the seniors were fourth year students who have another year of eligibility.
Right.
So we'll see what happens there as far as the number at return. But they won't have everybody back, but Wisconsin will still be good defensively.
Yeah, and their secondary, outside linebacker, defensive line, those are some key holes to fill for Paul Chryst and his squad.
It's hard to replace a team that's number one in the country and expect them to be number one.
You're
they won't
exactly
be.
Right.
Of course, their schedule will be a little different next year, too.
You're exactly right. NFL news, Packers making it official today after it was first reported, I think, a day or two ago. Ted Thompson out as general manager, but he will remain on as senior advisor of football operations. At the same time today, the Packers giving Coach Mike McCarthy a one-year extension.
Ooh.
That is according to sources telling ESPN. The Packers, of course, 7-9 this year, missed the playoffs, and they were without Aaron Rodgers for a brief period of time. And I'm a Packers fan, Lauren, and I just basically considered, as soon as Aaron Rodgers went down, I considered this season a wash. They just didn't have enough other playmakers besides him to make a playoff run.
Yeah, I think they probably did the smart thing. They played him, and then they realized that they couldn't make the playoffs, so they just pulled him out of the last game.
Yep, that was the 100% right thing to do.
Yeah.
So, well, what'd you think of those football games yesterday? I guess we could talk about Michigan blowing the perfect record for the Big Ten and the bowls, or we could talk about the two semifinals.
Yeah, Michigan just let that game get away.
And they did.
The passing game can do that to you sometimes. You can't defend it. It's hard to protect a lead late if you can't stop passes. But I thought that probably the Rose Bowl, I've seen a lot of Rose Bowls and seen a lot of low-scoring Rose Bowls when Michigan and Ohio State used to be in the thing routinely. And I'd say probably that'll go down as one of the greatest ones of all time.
Absolutely.
Double overtime.
Here's Georgia head coach Kirby Smart on the victory.
Early on,
I called the fake.
Well, and let's get you to the right page, because that was Donald Trump. We don't want to hear that, at least on this show. Here's Kirby Smart.
Our kids are so resilient. They never stopped chopping wood. They kept fighting. They believed. There was offensive players affecting defensive players in the locker room at halftime, and they kept fighting. We didn't play the way we were capable of, but the best news is we get a chance to play again.
And Georgia, of course, will go on to face Alabama. But first, Lauren.
I want to just tell you a little bit about what's happening at Georgia.
All right.
Number one, they just hired five more people in their recruiting staff at $500,000 apiece. They now have 60 people in their recruiting staff.
Football recruiting.
Beyond the coaches. I mean, there's a reason why they had the number one recruiting class in America this year, the one that'll be coming in as freshmen. Georgia has more players in the state, players, than Alabama. Georgia is getting more players suddenly than Alabama. Now, what does that mean? I mean, the SEC was what you might call a little down this year. They had two great teams, maybe a third that was pretty good, and then a bunch of teams that weren't very good this year for them. But I will tell you this, Florida will be back. LSU will be back. Tennessee someday is going to do it because they're going to pour everything they have into it. I just don't see the SEC being down very long.
One of the favorite phrases you like to use is, it's all monopoly money.
There it is. It is. I mean,
a booster who loves football and boom.
Yeah, and plus the fact, I mean, just think of these huge crowds that they have and all the money that brings. And then you got all the TV money, and that gets more every year. And it's really reached the point of being outrageous. It's just absolutely outrageous, the amount of money. Just what I just said about Georgia. Can you imagine that? 60 people. And these are all people with six-figure salaries.
That's one per state plus a little bit more.
Yes, yes.
A few for Europe as well, if you want to go over there.
And it really, they had five. Let me just tell you about their quarterback. You saw Fromm.
Right.
Well, he replaced Eason, who was the starting quarterback at the start of the year. Eason got hurt.
Right.
Fromm's a freshman. He came in. Who do you think they recruited to play quarterback next year? They got a guy named Fields, who will compete with Fromm. Fields is the number one ranked quarterback in America.
Yeah. And they got Luke Ford at the very end as well.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about quarterback.
Sure, sure.
And those, just think, if you're the number one quarterback in the country, why would you go someplace where they got a freshman starting and they're returning the guy that originally started coming back? You're starting out third team, aren't you?
But you know you're going to be in the mix.
Yeah, you're in the mix, and you're in the mix for a terrific team, but there's a lot of other places he could go. Like, let me think about Illinois, where he'd be automatic starter.
No kidding. So Georgia, of course, will go on to play Alabama a week from tonight. Here's Alabama coach Nick Saban after the win last night.
It was a little bit personal, I think, for us after what happened to us in this game last year. Really, really pleased for our players.
Of course, referring to the last time that Clemson and Alabama met in the postseason last year, went the way of Clemson. So national title game 1 week from tonight, an all-SEC title game, much to the chagrin of many. Brad Underwood meeting with the media today, digitally, of course. They are up in Minneapolis preparing to take on the Gophers tomorrow night, a game you can hear right here on DWS. Spoke to the media via teleconference today, talking about getting back into Big Ten play.
Excited to get Big Ten play started again. And there was definitely a difference in feeling when we played the first two in terms of the atmosphere and the intensity level.
Illinois at 10-5, 0-2 in the Big Ten. Again, they dropped their first two, those two Big Ten games in early December that were separate from the rest. Overtime losses to Northwestern up in Rosemont, and then home against Maryland. Minnesota comes into the ballgame at 12-3 and 1-1.
Well, Minnesota's trying to get organized here with Mason, because Mason hasn't played the last several games.
Right.
I think it's a sprain.
Yes.
And I think he's probably, based on the fact he was almost ready for the last game, I think there's a really good chance that he'll play, and I think you have to plan for him. But he is coming off an injury, so hopefully he won't have the kind of game that Cowan had for Maryland here. He is a good point guard, and he stacks up comparable to Cowan. But we just have to see his condition. Meanwhile, the Illini seem to have found a high-scoring point guard, or at least a clutch-playing point guard in Frazier. And I don't think that while the rest of us are concerned about the starting lineups, I don't think that is part of Underwood's consideration.
No, he has said as much.
Oh, yeah. But when the time comes, I mean, when the game is in the balance, I think we know who's going to be in there. And I think it's going to be Frazier.
Of course, the other big guy to keep an eye on for Minnesota is Jordan Murphy. He's got, 15 double-doubles?
15 consecutive.
15 consecutive. Yeah. He's averaging 12.6 boards a game and 19.1 points per game as
Most
well.
Most improved player in the league. But right now, playing at that position for Illinois is a guy, Black, who's just hanging right with him. That'll be a good battle between those two. But there's something in while Black is a good rebounder, he's always been a good rebounder. This guy Murphy is something unusual. I mean, he's got reactions and anticipation and quickness to the ball that is stunning. And we didn't see that. I mean, here's a guy that if you saw him in high school, you would have not expected. I mean, he was never rated that high. Let's put it that way.
So that's an 8 p.m. tip tomorrow night up at the Barn. Brian Barnard has the call here on DWS and across the Illini Sports Network. Our pregame coverage will start at 6:30. Actually, it'll start in earnest at 5, as I'll be back in the chair for Sports Talk. We'll take a little break between 6 and 6:30. I'll be back with the pregame show at 6:30 and also the postgame show as well. That comes up tomorrow night, Fighting Illini basketball. Again, still plenty of time for you to weigh in. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. You can call us at 356-9397. Especially want to hear from you on this next segment, because seeing as though this is our first show of 2018, we're going to do some New Year's resolutions for Fighting Illini athletics. What should the New Year's resolution for Brad Underwood be in 2018? Lovie Smith, Josh Whitman? We'll kick it around and hopefully hear from you. You've got Tim and Lauren on the Tuesday edition of Sports.
It's the restart of Big Ten basketball. Illinois at Minnesota to take on the Golden Gophers. 8 o'clock Wednesday night. Illini game day comes your way at 6:30 Wednesday from Minneapolis.
Tuesday edition of Sports Talk rolls on, 5:26, a balmy 4 degrees in downtown Champaign. Tim Dittman filling in for Scott Beatty. Scott taking the week off. He'll be back next week. Lauren Tate from the News Gazette is alongside. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. You can reach us on the phone lines, 356-9397. We're taking you up to 6 o'clock, or maybe we'll give away a little early. And that's when we're going to bring you Indiana versus Wisconsin in Big Ten basketball. Before we get into our New Year's resolutions, we go to the phones to Vern. Hey, Vern, what's up?
Hi, I'm I want to know, I appreciate Lauren's insight on things. I just want to know what he thinks about Purdue and Painter have been doing the last couple of years. I'm going to hang up now. Thanks.
Thank you for your call, Vern.
Matt Painter has established something that very few players, coaches in the country have done, and that is a pivot offense, a post offense, whereby he is able to recruit successfully the better big men around the country. He's got two of them right now. He's got another one coming next year. He's got big men. Illinois can't get a big man. But what does he do? He insists that the ball at least pass through the hands of the center. I'm not saying on all possessions, but he has certain periods of time where he demands it, that they make sure the center touches the ball. And if you've got people like he's had, you want them to touch the ball. And I don't know how Illinois is going to stop
Haas
and Harms.
Right.
Harms is a lefty, and he's more of a shot, but he's more of a jumper than Haas is. Haas is just a Frankenstein. I mean, he's just a huge guy that there's nothing you can do. And so I think that, and I don't want to mean that that's their entire team. I just mean that they're built around that postman. Now that opens things up for the other guys, and the Edwards boys, the two of them, and the other players that he has on that team, they're good shooters, and they get plenty of open shots. I think Painter is probably the most underrated coach in the Big Ten. Who won the Big Ten last year, Tim? Who won it? Purdue.
It had me think there for a second. It wasn't Michigan State.
It was Purdue.
You're right. Illinois, by the way, is home against Purdue, second to last game of the regular season, February 22nd. And that is the only meeting with the Boilermakers this year. So I guess that's good. Number one, it's enough to only play them once. And number two, it's good timing. Illinois will be a little battle-tested.
The only bad part about that, Tim, is it's a nice, easy trip over there. You'd rather go there than Maryland, okay,
right,
or Rutgers or Minnesota. I mean,
you're right.
It's close.
It's a nice little 90-minute jaunt.
Yes, it is.
Stop at the Beef House. And
you bet.
Mackey's a pretty nice arena. I always like to call it State Farm Center Junior because it's kind of got this similar layout in the round, but it just doesn't have a C-section.
Yep.
It has an A and a B. So, Vern, thanks for the phone call. 356-9397 is how you can reach us. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. All right, Lauren, are you ready to do some New Year's resolutions?
I'm ready.
This is our first show in 2018, so I figured take a look ahead in the world of Fighting Illini Athletics. If you are Brad Underwood, your 2018 New Year's resolution is?
Oh, shoot. I thought you were going to go the other direction. Let's see. Underwood. Well, I would say provides. I don't know.
I'll give you one.
You go first.
Make a postseason tournament.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll say. That goes without saying, but, I mean, how are you going to win? How are you going to win 10 games in the Big Ten this year? That's going to be tough. That's really going to be a hard assignment. I just say I find a big man for next year. That would be but before this year is out, find a good strong big. We got a guard coming in Iowa DeSumo,
right,
and he'll fit right in with Frazier next year. Give you two high scoring, talented, penetrating guards that can and really put the defense back on its heels. But they don't have the big man. And so I guess I would say that would be the, and I don't want to go all the way to Okoro because he's just a junior. They need somebody this next year.
And you're talking about a shutdown big man.
Yeah,
someone bigger than a LeRon Black.
You know what? I'd take somebody even like Lynch that transferred from Illinois State to Minnesota.
Right.
He led the nation or second in the nation in block shots. Just somebody to neutralize so that your defense can overplay and not get beat to the hoop because Illinois has got no basket defense. They play real tight over-guarding defense, which I really like, and it causes a lot of turnovers and it creates a lot of opportunities. But when guys break through, Illinois has no basket defender. Yeah.
Year in and year out, that is the one thing I've always looked up and down the Illini roster and said, gosh, if we could just get a shutdown big man, a rim protector.
And just think he had one just about 60 miles away or less than 50 miles away at Illinois State, and he transferred to Minnesota. I was really hoping we'd get him. I think I don't care how much he scores. That isn't important to me as defense and the ability to just round out an already good defense that doesn't have the one thing that they need.
If you are Lovie Smith, your 2018 New Year's resolution is?
Well, since Michigan got Patterson out of Mississippi, a fifth-year quarterback who will probably be their starter next year. I hope that Lovie can land by February or later a fifth-year transfer from some school like Georgia.
Since they have so many to go around.
How about Fromm? I'd take Fromm, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Now, he can't transfer and be eligible. He's a freshman. But a fifth-year guy, yeah, I would be my wish for that he could find, because we definitely need a quarterback.
Caron Taylor out of the mix at this point? You think
he'll
sign?
No, I don't want to say out of the mix. I will know more in February after we see what his grade situation is. I think he's the young quarterback from Peoria that's got great speed. I don't know anything about his ability to throw downfield in terms of accuracy, that sort of thing. Oh, we know he's got a strong arm, but I just think you need more experience. We can't get into this business of playing freshmen all the time at quarterback. In fact, you can't get into the business of playing freshmen all the time at any position and be successful. Now, you can play one here and one there, but you can't play nine of them on one unit. And that won't
Otherwise,
work.
You're just going to get bulldozed.
Well, that's what happened, wasn't it?
Yeah. Before we move away from football, Alan in St. Louis on the Castle Heating and Text line wants to know about Illinois' search for an offensive coordinator. And you and I were just talking about this off-air. Yesterday was Black Monday in the NFL with how many coaches losing? Six?
Well, six head coaches.
Six head coaches.
And most of their staffs will be gone. So, overwhelmingly, just dozens and dozens of all of a sudden, the market that Lovie is looking into, and we think that Lovie will probably go toward the pros, since that's the way he has hired most of his staff up to now.
Right.
Most of his staff, not all his staff, but most. We think that probably he wasn't going to do anything until he can see who's available after all these coaching changes. Now, that doesn't mean that a lot of these guys want to go back to college, but I would think that, that job is worth $650,000, $750,000, $850,000, who knows, $850,000 to a really top professional coach.
Mm-hmm.
And Illinois is able to pay that. They were paying, they hired Garrick McGee at $650,000, and Garrick was coming off, he was an assistant coach at Louisville.
Right.
But this will be a pro coach, and I would think that the money will be there to hire somebody pretty good, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I think... Well, not only that, but they're looking for a new defensive backs coach, and they've got that 10th assistant coming in.
Yeah, so we think that Shieldhouse is going to get one of those jobs.
Is that right?
Well, yeah, I think Shieldhouse will be hired. I do. But I'll maybe proven wrong, but I've had several people tell me that.
Now, surely, because that was news to me when you told me that, surely that will not be for a hands-on assistant. I mean, he'd be the 10th assistant.
Yeah.
Well, but what would he do?
He would coach a position, probably one of the positions in the backfield defensively perhaps, or be quarterback coach, depending on how they want to line it up. But he's a recruiting he's a top recruiting prospect.
Sure. I believe that's his strength, in my opinion. And I'm not trying to, throw any shade here at Nathan Shieldhouse. He's a great player, great individual. But right now he's just listed as staff?
Yeah.
To elevate him to a bona fide assistant coach role, I just don't think he has enough experience for that.
He's already been an assistant coach, though.
He has.
Under Cubitt.
You're right.
I mean, I don't know. I think he would be fine. I think you got to have some youth in there. But we'll see. I mean,
we'll know very soon.
Here I am guessing what I would do, and this is what Lovie will do that matters. But I think Lovie really likes him, and I think they feel like he's a good coach for the future.
If you have any thoughts on Illinois football or any New Year's resolutions for any of the Illini coaches, what do you think should be their priorities?
I got one more guy that they would never hire, but I would hire.
All right.
His name is Patterson. He coaches down in St. Louis at that Catholic school, is winning all those games and has all those players. If you want to get some of his players, hire the coach. That's what.
How many times
do.
Have we seen that?
Yeah, we've seen it in basketball a lot.
Yeah, we do. 356-9397 is how you can call us. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. If you're Josh Whitman, your 2018 New Year's resolution is?
Josh Whitman, the New Year's hope would be $100 million for hockey.
You took the words right out of my mouth, and a facility to go along with it.
Well, the $100 million will take care of the facility.
Right. That is really, we've been saying this for weeks and months now. That's the only roadblock.
Well, yeah, that's a pretty big roadblock. That's a roadblock to everything, $100 million.
Sure.
That's a lot of
money.
But
there are people out there, and Josh Whitman has even admitted it. He says, I have a pretty good idea of what this feasibility study is going to say. It's going to say hockey would be popular in Illinois, and it would also be pretty darn expensive.
That's right. And I
not to mention Title IX and all that.
They were so lucky at Penn State to have a guy that was willing to give them that kind of money. And I don't know that there's anybody around these parts that's willing to do that. That's so much money, and
you can't put
that amount of money together in small pieces. You just can't do it.
Well, I was just thinking about this the other day. If there are any well-known or wealthy alums from Illinois that have any sort of connection to hockey at all, and I couldn't think of any. I mean, there's Lee Archambault, who's the former club hockey player, who's now a NASA astronaut, but.
I can't help you. I don't know.
Are the Blackhawks going to chip in?
Well, that was my next thought. I think that the Blackhawks want to see it happen, and they are in Chicago, and this would be a Chicago. This would be the resource where Illinois would get its talent from.
Right.
Would be Chicago. So, I imagine if you had a lead gifter, you might be able to get something from the Blackhawks. But that's just a guess. Yeah. I know they support the idea.
They do. So we'll see. I think it would be wildly popular, and I've been to plenty of club hockey games, and they're a lot of fun. And at the club level, they have a lot of success. But it's just like you mentioned, a huge.
I was in Wisconsin a few years ago, and on a Friday night before a Saturday game, and we got in there, and I happened to get a couple tickets, and it's wild.
Mm-hmm.
It is really wild at the University of Wisconsin.
And hockey. You throw in those cold states, Minnesota, Michigan. I mean, I've been inside Michigan State's hockey rink. I just walked in to tour it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They got balcony seating and everything. It's
sure.
unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm going to throw one more at you, Lauren.
Oops, I'm not ready for this.
This is quasi-sports, quasi-news. If you are University of Illinois Chancellor Robert Jones, your New Year's resolution for 2018 related to athletics is?
Forget about having a mascot.
I was going to say try to broker peace between the pro-chief and the anti-chief people, but I don't know if
you
that'll ever happen.
You were going to say bring back the chief, were you?
No, I was not going to say bring back the chief.
I don't think there's any way to ever resolve a problem when you got so divided. The only thing is that the majority are losing in this proposition.
Right.
The minority are winning. That's okay.
Well, and you have brought up the point many times, and it's one that I've grappled with, of who, all right, if Illinois goes toward a mascot, who should get to make the call? And you've made the argument before that students are getting to make the call, but they're going to be gone in 4 years.
Yeah, and it won't be freshmen. It'll be juniors and seniors making the call.
Right.
And they're gone next year.
So then that begs the question, who should get to make the call?
Well,
the alumni base, the administration, you can make the argument that administration's turnover.
Let me ask you this. Who attends the games?
Mostly alumni.
Then they should make the call. The people that attend the game should make the call, not the people who don't come to the games. Right? Does it make sense that the people that don't come to the games make the call? Because that's what we're getting.
Some students come to the games, but it's a small, diehard percentage.
Yeah, that's okay. Maybe the vote ought to be made at the games.
Everybody, hold up
if you come to the game, you can vote.
Hold up a yellow stick if you want a bird. Hold up a orange stick if you don't want anything.
I can't think of many. You know, I was thinking about this and watching Wisconsin play football and the Buckeyes that. They have mascots, but they don't make an issue out of any of them. This is not an issue. It's not something that they go home feeling about the way the Illinois fans feel about Chief Alaniwek. It just isn't. There's a certain, it's a depth of feeling that
right.
we had for that that went beyond. It was almost religious-like.
Well, it's a tradition that dates back how many years, or did, I guess I should say in the past tense now, 80-some years.
Yeah,
I mean, does the Native American down at Florida State date back that far? I would venture no.
Well, I don't know. It goes pretty far
does
back.
Does it really?
I think so.
Well, maybe I stand corrected there. But
I don't know.
The point I'm trying to make is there aren't many that have the history that Chief Illiniwek did.
That's true.
And so that I think, if it was a Johnny come lately, hey, we're going to do this thing, and it's only been around since the 90s, people would feel a lot differently about it.
But all I'm saying, and going back to my original statement, is let's not have a bunch of people who are trying to basically destroy the history of Illinois make a decision about how to go forward in this. That's just wrong. People that attend the game should be the ones that determine who their mascot is.
Well, I'm in agreement with you that, and this is not me speaking as a news reporter, which is my day job. This is me speaking as a sports talk show host. I don't think Illinois needs a mascot. I agree with you.
I don't either.
But there has to be some sort of way to broker some sort of peace between the pro chief and the anti chief people.
No, there isn't. There is not. There's no way. This is permanent. There will never be a peace.
You don't think so?
Oh, no. You mean, how do you satisfy the people who love the chief and can't have him? How do you satisfy those people?
You honor him in a way that does not involve him being on the court or on the field.
Okay.
You boost scholarships for Native American students. You create a permanent exhibit in the university library.
Okay.
You
You think that's going to satisfy him when they start playing the 3-1?
Well, people can fold their arms and yell chief all they want. He just won't be out there.
I know, but why do you think they do that? Because they love him.
Right.
Or some people just do it as a response to being told they can't.
You're right.
I mean, that's part of it, students especially. But there are a lot of people who chief brought tears to their eyes. There are a lot of people who have mementos of the chief in their homes. And there are a lot of people that still wear chief T-shirts.
You're right.
And they do it because this is something that they became accustomed to and they liked very much.
You got any thoughts on how that issue is going to go in 2018? If it's going to go anywhere, it seems like it lays low for about 6 months and then it fires up again and then
low. I don't know that there's anything they can take away now that they've taken away the war chant. They can't take away the 3-1. I don't think they can. And so I don't know where I think this thing is going to just probably die out again for a few years. I don't know why. What will be the issue? The powwow isn't going to work.
Well, did you forget the homecoming parade, Lauren? What do you think is going to happen next homecoming?
Well, they'll figure out the police will get involved and the chancellor will get involved and they'll make sure that there's no problem.
Well,
they just have to be prepared for it.
We can only hope. 5:44 on the Tuesday edition of Sports Talk. Hey, you got any New Year's resolutions for Illini Athletics or even yourself? Give us a call, 356-9397. Shoot us a text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Tim and Lauren have more coming up.
It's bonus Big Ten basketball tonight here on DWS. The Indiana Hoosiers against the Wisconsin Badgers. 6 o'clock after Sports Talk tonight on DWS.
That comes up in about 10 minutes or so. We may break away early and get you some pregame coverage of Indiana and Wisconsin in Big Ten basketball action. The first of 3 Big Ten bonus games we're going to bring you this week as we get into these, I don't want to call them dog days of winter, but whatever you want to call them. We like to bring you these Big Ten games. All right, you've got Tim and Lauren on the Tuesday edition of Sports Talk. Still time to sneak in a call or a text. Call us 356-9397, Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Is 351-5357. We've been doing New Year's resolutions tonight as this is our first show of 2018. Hope you enjoyed your new year. What do you think? What are your priorities or what should be the priorities for Brad Underwood, Lovie Smith, Josh Whitman, and others for 2018? Give us a call and let us know what you think. Speaking of New Year's Day, Lauren, here's a fun fact for you as we wind this show down. How many times do you think Illinois basketball has played on New Year's Day?
Oh, I don't know.
15.
Really? How we do?
10-5.
Okay.
First was in 1908.
Oh, boy. I remember that game.
Against the Mobile YMCA.
Oh, yeah. They were tough.
That was a part of a southern trip that I can't remember. I should have brought the media guide in. The coach at the time took a southern trip, a bonding trip, and they played a bunch of YMCA teams, including a doubleheader on Christmas. this is you're laughing. This is the truth.
I believe you.
1908 was the first time Illinois played on New Year's Day. We're talking men's basketball here. Didn't play from 1977 to 2017. Then, of course, last year Illinois defeated Ohio State on New Year's Day. So Illinois basketball all time on New Year's Day, 10-5. There's your fun fact for the
I guess it is. I don't remember any of them. I do remember Ohio State. You know, the one thing that Illinois did last year, they won some nice basketball games at home last year.
Yeah. Michigan State.
Michigan. And, of course, the Michigan State game late in the season, we thought that put us over the hump.
Right.
And then
Rutgers.
Then we went to Piscataway.
And then something happened that we'd all like to forget.
It just happened. Then the other thing that really put the kibosh on the season was the fact that we went into the Big Ten tournament and lost to Michigan by 20.
Yeah.
I think that's when Whitman made the decision that he just had to make a change. But just think how close Illinois was to being in the NCAA tournament last year. And just think, had they been in the NCAA tournament and Gross had been retained, they would have gotten Jeremiah Tillman. Might have gotten Smith, too. Already had Frazier. So the talent level would have been increased probably at that point. Now, I think that we're seeing, defensively at least, a new approach to Illinois basketball that's paying dividends.
Yeah.
But we still have five losses already.
Well, and, you know, not that the fan base gets to dictate these sort of things, but I think the fan base, and I think people in the program, too, were just kind of ready for a breath of fresh air after 5 years. And I think Brad Underwood has brought that. I mean, look at a guy like Aaron Jordan, who did not thrive under John Gross, and he's thriving now.
Well, how is he? Is he? I mean, has he scored the last three games?
The last three games. How about that?
Look, when they decide to cover Aaron Jordan, that's the end of the fun.
You're right.
He can't get loose.
And now that we've got Illinois has games under its belt, teams have tape, and the secret's out.
That's right.
That goes for every year
the
and every
one
player.
Guy that they know how to guard Smith now. They know how to guard Aaron Jordan. There's no special way to guard Frazier because Frazier can do things with the ball that the other guys can't, and that makes a big difference.
Castle Heating and Cooling text line 309 texter says, what's former Illini basketball player James Griffith doing these days?
I haven't seen Griff for a while. I know that Frank Williams has been to some of the games.
Are you referring to Marcus Griffith? Did the texter get the name wrong?
I'm sorry. Did you not say Mark? Who'd you say?
James Griffith. But
oh,
I think
James is down in Texas.
Okay.
He was driving. Last I heard, he was driving a truck or something. I can't remember. It's been several years. Lou Henson would know.
Right.
Lou recruited him out of Texas. James Griffin, doggone. Yeah, I remember him well.
But you were talking Marcus Griffin.
I was talking Marcus because that's what I was thinking. You asked me about Frank the other day, we were talking about Frank today, and Frank has been kind of avoiding the media while his son is playing for the U of I.
Right.
And Sergio has been, we've seen Sergio around. I saw Sergio some months ago now, at the workout place. And Marcus, I know, had put on a little weight the last time I saw him. But I don't know what he's doing.
Maybe we'll catch up with him one of these days.
They'll pop up at a game this year, I bet you.
Yeah. Good stuff. We'll take a final timeout, come back with some final words, take you to some bonus Big Ten basketball. You've got Sports Talk on a Tuesday.
This is Brian Barnhart. Tomorrow on Penny for Your Thoughts, we'll have an open line in the first hour from Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll broadcast live there. In the second hour, it'll be Jim Dye from the News Gazette.
See, when Scott put this music in the rotation, I bet he didn't know it, but this was Hulk Hogan's theme music for a brief period of time.
Was it?
That's all I'm going to say on Pro Wrestling Tonight. Otherwise, I think the radios are going to click off. 5:56 on the Tuesday edition of Sports Talk. Tim Dittman, Lauren Tate with you. We will give way in just a couple of minutes to Matt LePay and the Wisconsin Badger Radio Network. Indiana, get it right here, and Indiana takes on Wisconsin tonight in Big Ten basketball. You can hear the game in its entirety right here on DWS.
When you say that, you think of two really strong programs that have been so good over the years, and where are they right now?
They're treading water.
You bet.
Castle Heating and Cooling text line. 217 texter says, don't understand why when it comes to Illinois coaching, everyone wants to recreate the wheel. Successful programs hire proven college coaches. I think this is referring back to what we were talking about earlier about Lovie going to the NFL for his next assistant or his next OC. Let me finish this text here. That's why Purdue is much better than Illinois. Nebraska will get things turned around. There was no improvement this year based on coaching alone, freshman or not.
Well, we are saying that we think that this opens the market. We don't know. It's going to just be one person. It could be anybody. It could be a college coach. But what we've seen is that Lovie, for the most part, has gone to pro coaches. So that's an assumption we're making. And we could be totally wrong.
Right.
I don't know who the new offensive coordinator is going to be. I really don't. I'm told it's not going to be Ron Turner, though.
I think that was a fan's pie-in-the-sky dream. It would have been neat, but he is not ready to come back here, I don't think.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
You think if he were offered, he'd accept it?
Absolutely.
I'll be darned.
Well, that's what his agent told me.
I just know.
No, I don't know. I shouldn't put it that way. That's what I have been led to believe by talking to people close to him. Okay, let's leave it that. I think he would come, and I think he would be received well by the people who knew him before. Everybody liked Ron Turner. Now,
yep.
I think he's a good coach. I think we made the point that the two best years that the Chicago Bears have ever had in their history, passing-wise, he was the coach of those teams. He was the offensive coordinator on those teams. First for Wanstead and then for Lovey.
Right.
He went to the Rose Super Bowl with Lovey, didn't he?
The last time I talked to Ron Turner, which would have been, oh gosh, maybe 6 months ago when I had him on this program with Bob, I asked him that question, and he kind of hemmed and hawed around the question.
Well, you're not going to get a straight answer on something like that.
Well, no one's listening.
Well, anyway, there's no point in going on with that because he's not going to be the guy. But he's, I think, going to retire. But I think in a situation where if Lovey had made the right approach to him, I think he would have come back for the last several years of his coaching career. But I think he's young for his age,
right.
Okay? But I do think he's going to retire.
Good stuff, Lauren. We'll hear from you again. You and I will be back together tomorrow night for the pregame show.
I'll be here.
Illinois and Minnesota.
That's an 8 o'clock game?
8 o'clock.
See you at 6:30.
We'll be on the air at 6:30. Of course, I'll have sports talk before then. We'll check in with Scott Ritchie from up in Minneapolis, and then plenty of Illini basketball coverage starting at 6:30 with the pregame show. Thanks to everyone who checked in on the phones and on the text line tonight. Thanks to Lauren and Blake Landau behind the scenes. I am Tim Dittman on the Tuesday edition of Sports Talk. In just a few seconds, we'll take you to Big Ten basketball, Indiana, and Wisconsin. This is WDWS Champaign-Urbana. Have a great evening.